take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom.
We're on a mission from God.
Entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth! Maybe we should chug on over to Mamby Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon!
Coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And here we are coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting compound. This is Pastor Mike and I'm online. Whoa. Careful with the microphone there. Good to be with you today. I want you to do me a favor before I move on to something else. Let me put this on the screen for you. My sister, Melissa, works for the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department, Jefferson County, Missouri. And her daughter, Holly, is a Jefferson County deputy and a detective on the major case squad. If she arrests you, she will thump your head. And they have been selected as one of the top five sheriff's departments in the country. I'm a little late getting my sound effects going here. Hurrah! There we go. So, they're in the running for a prize. And I will try to include the link to this on the YouTube. And I'll try to put it in the description on Sermon Audio as well. But the website is Sumuri, SUMURI.com and / Sumuri Gives Back 2020 / voting. And if you will go, if you'll scroll down, voting ends in 7 days. And right here, I've already done it, so I can't do it again. But there's a little box here. Here's the top five. Jefferson County Sheriff's Department, Philippine National Police Anti-Cyber Crime Group, Lompoc Police Department, Mahomet Police Department, Hartford Police Department. If they win, they get this supercomputer that will enable them to help stop child trafficking, and I am all 100% for that. So I will include the link in the description of the YouTube version of this program and as well as the sermon audio version of this program. Click the link and go down and select Jefferson County Sheriff's Department. They'll ask you for your email address and they'll send you an email. And you go to your email and you click the link there and that will register your vote for them. So you've got 7 days, 10 hours, 53 minutes, and 49, 48, 47 seconds to do so. All right? I would appreciate it. I know they would too. I'm not an anarchist. I believe in law. I believe in law enforcement. Law, and the Bible declares it. They bear not the sword in vain. You have to have the use of deadly weapons to enforce the law. Because people who break the law do so because they think they can get away with it. And if there is no punishment for those who break laws, then laws have no, there's no benefit to having laws to begin with. If you can't enforce the law, with the threat of punishment, confinement, or death, then laws have no teeth. There's nothing that will enforce it. And so Romans chapter 13 plainly tells us that they bear not the sword in vain. And that means the possible use of deadly force. Just bearing the sword or a gun, which is what we have now, the fact that a cop pulls a gun and or a what are they, the electrocution thing, I can't think of it anyway, when they shoot you with that or hold it up to you, just the idea of being zapped with 100,000 volts would cause even the most drunk person to say, okay, I'll go willingly. So anyway, pray for those who are in law enforcement. Pray for those who are first responders. And if you see a fireman or a cop at the gas station or something like that, don't sneak up behind them and try to, you know, whatever, because they don't like that. But I always give them a salute and tell them thank you for their service to their country and to the community. And that makes them feel good, especially nowadays with the cancel culture that we live in, with everybody hating law enforcement and liberals in this country wanting to defund the police. It lets these guys know that you appreciate the work that they do. All right. I want to read some news articles. I tried to print them out. I got a new printer in this room the other day, and it prints weird. Yeah, it prints really weird. I don't like it. Let me see here. Where am I going to start? This article came out today's the 15th, yesterday. Hotels consider requiring all guests to have COVID vaccination. No shot, no service. Let's see here. A reader of the Lockdown Skeptics website reported that a hotel in Scotland, which offers wildlife holidays, is preparing to adopt the no vaccine, no service policy. Should a vaccination program, and you can tell it's from England. Let me see if I can pop this on the screen for you. You can tell it's from England because it spells program with an E at the end of it. Two M's and an E at the end of it. Here we go. Should a vaccination program be rolled out in the next few months, then it is likely we will require all guests to have been vaccinated before arrival, states an item in the hotel's newsletter. You know what? Don't go to that hotel. Don't do it. You don't want to be vaccinated. I'm not going to get a COVID vaccine. Even after explaining what I explained a couple weeks ago about it, it's new technology, and I don't, bare minimum, I don't trust it. I don't trust it. So, there's news articles people have been sending me in the last couple weeks about how the government won't have to force people to get vaccinated. The companies that you do business with will. Don't do business with them. Plain and simple, don't do business with them. Okay? Don't give them your money. 2020 has undoubtedly been a hard year for the hotel, and they have already put in place a wide range of COVID-19 related quote-unquote safety measures, which will have had significant cost and massively reduced their occupancy rate, states the reader. They will be balancing the requirements of both government and their customers, and in respect of the latter, they clearly envisage that their customers will expect the highest possible levels of safety and will, on the whole, regard this vaccination. How many times have you ever gotten sick checking into a hotel? If they would wash the sheets, you wouldn't have anything to worry about. Let's see here. As we highlighted earlier, according to Bill Gates, coronavirus restrictions will continue into 2022, and bars, which you shouldn't go there anyway, and restaurants will remain closed for 4 to 6 months. UK Health Secretary Matt Hancock also told MPs, members of Parliament, today that a new variant of COVID had been discovered, meaning that the vaccine currently in production may not even be effective as the virus continues to mutate. Scare, scare, scare. Scare everybody so we can take control. We can have all the fun, all the control. Scare everybody into this, scare everybody into that. That's how the world works nowadays. I thought about today, talking about Rick Warren. There is an article. Let me pop that on the screen for you. And I don't get this. You complain about racism. And in an effort to appear to not be a racist, you turn into a racist. Here's the latest from Rick Warren. Rick Warren Church has blacks only worship, no white members allowed. That's racism. That's racist. It's an anti. The white race is a race, people. And it's like punishing innocent people for something that they haven't done and categorizing everybody based upon the color of their skin. Now, I'm not the world's biggest fan of Martin Luther King Jr., but one of the things that he said was that he longed for a day when people would be judged by the content of their character and not the color of their skin. I agree with that. You don't look at anybody, no matter what color they are, and say, well, they're this color, therefore they are this way. You don't do that. God doesn't do it. God is no respect of persons. But Rick Warren is. Rick Warren Saddleback Church has invited African American and or black members if you're African American, you're black, right? I don't get it. And their spouses of any ethnicity to attend a special gathering with racial trauma experts, with non-spousal white church members being asked to pray for the event but to stay away. In other words, if you're white, you can't come. You can't show up. That's racism, people. In an effort for, and Rick Warren is all about popularity, publicity. I know this because I wanted to follow his model years ago, long time ago. I wanted to have a mega church. I wanted everybody to like me. And I was going to follow Rick Warren before people knew who Rick Warren was. Bill Hybels, Rick Warren, Saddleback Community Church, these other mega churches where they basically dumbed down everything and catered to the lust, the pride, the whims of Americans. Rich Americans, I'll say, and built mega churches all over the world because of it. Now he's part of this cancel culture. Let's make all white people feel guilty. This sort of started rising up when Obama became president. He had a golden opportunity to unite a nation, but he refused to do it. He caused the division that we have now in this country. And now Rick Warren is jumping in bed with that same culture mentality. White people are to blame for every problem in the world. It's all Whitey's fault. Even though Rick... So is Rick Warren going to show up? I mean, he's as white as they come. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. That's what I learned. Isn't that how you learned it? Yeah, there's differences among people and families and tribes and races. Yeah, there's differences, but that doesn't make one better than the other or worse than the other. So for Rick Warren to exclude people simply based upon not the content of their character, but the color of their skin. Number one, it shows that he does not give a hoot what's in the Bible. Doesn't care at all. He wants to be seen as being popular. He wants to be seen as being relevant. He wants to... he basically does what politicians do. Politicians always test the wind. Whatever whim is going around, that's what that politician is going to be about, and they're doing it to get elected so they can hold power and get money and everything else. And that's Rick. And I was going to be just like him, and God spanked me so hard. I said, I'll never do that again. And I didn't. Let's see here. Here's another one that I just some of these people sent in today to me, and I appreciate it. I will put this one on the screen as well. It's gonna lead into what I'm gonna talk about today. We're gonna talk about evolution. There is Sweetie Pie and I went to Costco the other day. And Costco sells books, and there's a book that they had on sale, and I'll show you what it was here in a little bit. But this came out today and was sent to me via email. Roswell Investigators Journal reveals he found, quote, indestructible debris not made by human hands at alien crash site. Now, I am working on... I got the idea a couple weeks ago. I'm working on, I don't know if it's going to be a Pastor Mike Online, I don't know if it's going to be a Watchman broadcast, but I'm working on the script for an idea I had called Roswell Fact or Fiction. I may change the title of that, but it's going to analyze, number one, it's going to take in the eyewitness accounts, those who claim to have seen the debris and know what happened. And, of course, you know me, we're going to go to the scriptures to find out whether or not this is true or not. Whether or not it could even be true. And I believe it could be. And I believe that this right here is relevant to the times that we're living in right now. In July 1947, a UFO reportedly hurtled into the ranch in New Mexico, and the most famous alien legend of them all was born. And isn't it interesting? Roswell, New Mexico, near the 33rd parallel. The Roswell incident in 1947 was allegedly covered up by the U.S. government. The following day, however, the statement was retracted, and it was said to be instead a damaged U.S. Air Force balloon. The incident has become one of the most discussed and controversial UFO theories in history. Jesse Marcel, an intelligence officer of the 509th Bombardment Group, Roswell Army Airfield, the Army ran the planes during World War II. Then they formed, the Pentagon formed a new group called the United States Air Force, and they spun off from the Army. But back during World War II and thereafter, they were the Army Air Force. And Roswell was the only place in the world in 1947 that had atomic weapons. So they had massive radar stations around the Roswell Army Air Base to guard and protect those atomic weapons. And the theory is that the radar jammed something that had to do with the alien chariots that crashed there. I'm not going to explain all of that biblically, but that's the theory. Now more than 30 years on from his death in June 24th, 1986, his grandchildren, Jesse Marcel III and John Marcel, claim he was ordered to deny what was actually discovered at the crash site. Speaking to the Daily Mail, his grandson, Jesse Marcel III, said he was made to be the fall guy. He was the head of intelligence in Roswell, New Mexico, and followed his orders. In essence, he was at the heart of the story and heart of the conspiracy or cover-up. The wreckage was first discovered by Mac Brazel, who was a rancher in that area, who spotted odd pieces of metal and debris scattered across Foster Ranch. Jesse Marcel III said even animals had a sense about whatever it was and did not want to go around it. He, Marcel, had examined the debris in the field and determined it was not made by human hands. Bum, bum, bum. Jesse Marcel III has revealed details of his grandfather's diary. Pieces of debris were taken to Roswell Base where a team tried to figure out what they were from and the material. I'm reading a book currently written by Paula Harris, who befriended Colonel Philip Corso, who viewed the bodies as they were being transported to Wright-Patterson Air Base, the bodies of the aliens. They had a stopover where Colonel Corso was stationed, and he viewed the bodies, saw them, and then later on was given some of the parts, I guess, to this flying chariot and said, go to our contractors, AT&T, what were some of the companies that had contracts with the Pentagon back then? AT&T had one. I'm trying to think. Used to be based here in St. Louis. Boeing did, and others, to try to reverse engineer the technology to find out what it did, see if it could have some sort of military use to it, give the United States military an advantage, and then let these contractors, these companies, extract from it what they can and market products based upon it. That's going to be their payoff for this. And the claim that Corso made was that some of the things that we take for granted now in this world, like the integrated circuit, which is behind every computer, every cell phone, every tablet, billions of things across the world, the integrated circuit came as a result of examining the wreckage from Roswell and other UFO-related crashes. Do you believe that? I'm going to end up discussing that. Now, what does evolution have to do with aliens? Does it have anything to do at all with it? Well, let me explain it like this. A lot of the UFO researchers in this world believe what they have allegedly been told by extraterrestrials. Now, let me explain, those of you not heard me talk about this before. I don't believe in little green men from Mars. What I believe is principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness in this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what I believe in. Those are the liars that spread lies. They are seducing spirits. they teach things to mankind that are blatant lies, that are contrary to the Word of God. Satan's one of them. Is he an extraterrestrial? Well, he didn't come from here. So he would qualify under that title. So that's what I believe the UFO occupants are, and what they have told people like Stephen Greer and others, Corso, is that humans are on this planet because the aliens, millions of years ago, took early primates, gorillas, monkeys, and altered their DNA, changed their DNA to give them logical thinking skills, to give them a sense of self-awareness, which is what humans have that beasts do not have. They do not have a sense of awareness, personal awareness. They cannot visualize themselves. They're animals. They're beasts. I know we humans like to attribute human attributes to our pets, but the truth of it is, pets don't love the way we love. They can't. They're not capable of it. The best, most loyal dog in the world will eat his owner. If his owner died in the house and nobody collected his body, that dog would eat him. His natural beast nature would kick in, and he would eat his own owner if he was starving to death. He sure would. So that's what a beast nature is really all about. And I believe that these devils have a beast nature. They don't care about us. So they spread this lie that they took primates, gorillas, monkeys, whatever, tweaked the DNA to start the evolutionary process to create humans. The aliens had told countless people, we put you on this planet. You're our experiment. We're checking on you, and we don't like what we see. You're being mean to this planet. You're using nuclear bombs, and you're spilling waste everywhere. You're harming Mother Earth, and blah, 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 blah. Telling them this story that the aliens created us. Believe it or not, there are a growing number of scientists who believe that they believe in evolution, but they believe in guided evolution. That it didn't happen by chance. Now, this is one huge hang-up for me when it comes to believing evolution. I cannot, in my rational, logical, reasonable mind, ever foresee any situation at all where the first cell was formed totally by accident. I cannot rationalize that concept. It doesn't make sense. And if it doesn't make sense, it's got to be not true. You can't convince me that the first organized cell to ever show up on planet Earth showed up accidentally. Because in order for that cell to become a living being, it had to have developed a cell wall, some form of cell wall or cell membrane. It had to have written its own DNA, the four base pairs, adenine, guanine, cytosine, thymine, should have all joined together by accident. By accident. To create the cell nucleus, what are the other parts of a cell? The mitochondria that brings in nutrients like sugar and burns them for energy so that the cell has enough energy to replicate itself, duplicate the DNA inside the nucleus, so that the one cell becomes two cells become four, four become eight, eight to 16, and so on. You will never, ever convince me that that happened purely by accident. So it leads, like Francis Crick, who won the Nobel Prize for discovering, him and Watson, discovering the layout, the makeup of the DNA double helix. He believed that DNA, it was totally impossible for DNA to show up all by itself. He believed that it was seeded somehow, some way, by something from outer space. And some scientists are sort of climbing on board that. The more they realize how perfectly designed DNA is, the more they scratch their head and realize, we don't think it just happened all by itself. Here's the book I was referring to. Notice the title of it, Homo Deus. Now, for those of you who don't know French, this is not French. This is Latin. Homo means man. Deus means God. And so this book is titled A Brief History of Tomorrow. And it basically says that man's evolution, his next step, his next stage in evolution, is going to create a god out of mankind. That men will become superior, a superior race, a superior being, superior to not only all the species. We already are superior to all the species on this earth. And God gave man dominion over the things that are on this earth. He gave that to us. It's our planet. And all of the creatures of this planet, animal and vegetable, are under our authority and our care. We're at the top of every food chain. So this book basically says that we have another step in evolution that's going to take place. And it's going to create a species of humans that will be above the humans that are on this planet now. Gods ruling over men. And that's what it's about. The Wikipedia article of this book, the book sets out to examine possibilities of the future of Homo sapiens. The premise outlines that during the 21st century, humanity is likely to make a significant attempt to gain happiness, immortality, and godlike powers. Throughout the book, Harari openly speculates various ways that this ambition might be realized in the future based on the past and present. So you have to ask the question, why is the theory, and it is a theory, it's a theory where scientists have taken certain evidences, they say, and made those evidences conform to the theory of evolution. They say that the universe is 13.5 billion years old, that the earth is a billion or so years old, that life started by accident on this planet, and it took millions and millions and millions of years for that first protocell to become all of the species, all the varied species of life on this planet, including all plants and all biological entities, mammals, fish, you name it, you know, single-celled organisms all the way up to humans. That it was all done by chance and happened over millions and millions and millions of years. Whereas, and Charles Darwin, we'll talk about him in a minute, actually came up with this idea, questioning thousands of years of thinking based upon religious ideas. Let's throw religion out of it and say that species adapted and changed and evolved to higher forms over the course of millions and millions of years. And of course, that theory then contradicts the description given to us in the Bible of the universe's creation, this earth's creation, and the creation of man. The Bible says that God did it. Evolution says it happened all by itself. There is no God that did it. There's no God at all. But we humans are going to become gods one of these days. Where does that theory come from? And why is it promoted so much? Well, it's obvious. We go to Genesis chapter... Let's just study a little Genesis here. Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. Where did they come from? They came from the earth. What happens when they die? They go back to the earth. Okay? God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image. Who is God talking to? Us. When he says us and our, he is referring to himself, the Godhead, the Father, the Son, or the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them, mankind, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And so we find now in Genesis chapter 3, the tempter shows up. Man's lives in the garden. He has everything available to him to satisfy his needs and wants and desires. God's given man a woman, so now they can procreate and continue the species on like all the other animals are doing. So then the tempter shows up, the deceiver, and he introduces to Adam a concept that Adam had not thought of before. That's the purpose of the tempter, the deceiver, Satan. As God is right and righteous, Satan is wrong and evil in everything that he does. He is a corrupter, he is a liar, he is a deceiver. And millions of people fall for his deceptions daily. People believe what they want to believe, even without any evidence, without any proof, without any fact. They simply believe what they want to believe. I believe what I want to believe. I believe that God created everything. And he did it in 6 literal days. I believe what this Bible says. I have put my faith and my trust and my confidence in the Word of God alone as being right. And no amount of so-called evidence for evolution will ever convince me that my Bible is wrong in the account of the creation. It's as simple as that. You believe what you're going to believe. You believe what you want to believe. So the devil shows up. Satan shows up in the form of a serpent, which is his form. He's a dragon. He's a serpent. And he questions God's word. Yea, hath God said. I will be preaching this Sunday night at Church of Many Blessings. Pastor Ron DeGonia, my old boss when Lisa and I first got married. I worked for him in drywall painting and insulation and so on. We've been good friends over the years. He wants me to come down and give my thoughts on why the King James is the right Bible. I'll be doing that this Sunday night. They stream a live stream on their Facebook page. Look for Church of Many Blessings. I don't know that I'll be streaming along with them, but I'll definitely record it. But anyway, I'm going to explain why the Bible is right. And Satan's attack, he had to attack and try to counter what God said. He had to try to corrupt what God said. So the first thing out of his mouth is, yea, if God said. He's denying the authenticity of God's word and the authority of God's word. Did God really say it? Number two, he flat out contradicts God's word by saying, ye shall not surely die. Then he says he offers a replacement of God's word, of his gospel. He says, for ye shall not surely die, for God doth know. God didn't tell this to Adam. God has a secret that he's not telling you. I am going to reveal it to you. For God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Ye shall be as gods. God made man a little lower, think of that term, than the angels. Let's look that up. What is man that thou art mindful of him? That's in the Psalms. Thou art mindful. There it is. Psalm 8. David said, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Think of our place. You have God, who is the Most High. You have the angels, who are beneath God, but above us. And man, but we, man, are above all of the creatures of the earth. We walk upright on 2 feet. We can reason among one another. We can rationalize things. We're not bound to make decisions based solely on instinct. Humans have morals. Animals don't. They have no morality that guides them. Animals will procreate with whatever mate they find. Humans can choose their mate. They can choose to procreate. We have a morality system given to us. And I will say this, even though God has made us lower than the angels, he's given us the ability that angels don't have, which is choice. The one third of the angels that follow Satan, they didn't choose that. God made them that way. He designed them to be the way they are. He designed Lucifer to be who Lucifer was. It was God's intention all along. And I get kind of chewed out for saying this, but I back it up with Scripture. Did God create, or does God create evil? Yes, he does. In those terms, God created evil. Look that up. Create evil. Isaiah 45:7. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Who created Satan? Lucifer. God did. Did God know he was going to do what he was going to do? Yes. Did God create him with that in mind? Yes. To say otherwise denies the power of God and the absolute authority and governance of God. God is in charge even of the meanest, worst devils that there are. God controls them. God uses them to perform and exact his will. God uses them to fulfill Scripture. So, even though we are created below the angels, God has created us with the ability to choose that angels don't have. They don't have that choice. It's why salvation's not offered to evil angels. they're just going to burn for all eternity. So anyway, back to this Homo Deus thing. The concept that man, here's what evolution's not about where we came from. It's about where we're going. And where they say man is going is to become God-like, like the gods. Having abilities and powers and doing things that mortal man cannot do. To become immortal is to become a god. To live beyond man's expectation of his lifespan. That's what this is about. And this is where we're going. With everything that goes on in this world, this is it. The end game is to try to convince man, humans, that they can become gods. Now, think about us. Let's go back to Scripture for a minute. What's going to happen with us when we die? According to the Bible, we're going to be transformed, changed. We're going to go from a lesser being to a higher being. 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We are corruptible now, but we're going to be transformed to incorruptible beings. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal, we are mortal now, meaning we'll die, must put on immortality. So, and by the way, the word mortal is derived from the same word where we get mortuary. Mortuary is the place where the dead people are. Mortis means death. Muertos in Spanish means death. So to be mortal means to be a human being that is destined for death. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, you and I, as believers in what God said, and my friends, trust me, or trust God, in the fact that clinging to this Bible, number one, is going to be more important than it ever has been. Number two, it's going to be more difficult than it ever has been. So what if, you know, these stories keep popping up about aliens and UFOs and how real they are. So what if the ETs finally appear and convince everybody, hey, you're our science project. All those stories about gods and, you know, the creator gods and the sun gods and the star gods, well, that's us. We've been following your evolution. And you need to be brought to a higher consciousness, a higher state, a higher awareness. All of your religions have been teaching you this, and all religions are the same. So mankind is going to believe this. They're going to fall for it. We're not. But we're going to have to live with that choice. We're going to have to face the consequences of that choice. And that choice to believe only what God said in His Word may cost us our life. Is that what you're willing to die for? I believe I am. I don't ever want to give up this faith, this confidence, this trust that I have in what God said in His Word. Am I willing to die for it? Some days I'm kind of looking forward to it. God gave us a choice. You can choose to not believe this book. There are consequences that go with that choice as well. But choosing to believe this book in the face of what this world is going to tell you is proof positive that the Bible's wrong, you will then deal with the consequences of choosing to believe God's word. Are you ready for that one? Well, let me help you out. God will be there with you when you decide, when it's time for you to say, I don't care who you are, where you came from, what you're saying. I believe what God said in His Word, and I'm prepared to face whatever consequences that brings. God's going to be there with you. That day is coming. That evolutionary force day is coming. When mankind... See, Satan has his alternative, let's call it his alternative rapture, the transformation of mankind. Man is about to be born again. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again. This is man's second birth. It's a corruptible seed birth. It's a transformation that they think is going to be forever, but it's not. It's not going to last. It's as corrupt as the seed that they're born again from. They're literally going to be born again of their father, the devil. While we are born again of incorruptible seed, the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So that's the end game of evolution. Is man becoming a god? First man, that's the theory. That man evolved from a lower primate state, which evolved from some multi-celled creature, which evolved from nothing in a pool of goo, all by accident. Well, not everybody believed that. We've already read that. We've already read the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. In these verses, Genesis 1:1, Genesis 1:27 and 28, Genesis 2:7, do you see any stages in that? No. 1 minute, there was nothing but dirt on the ground. The next minute, God had formed with his own hands and fashioned man and his body out of the dust of that ground. And then man breathed in, or God breathed into man's nostrils his own breath, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That is not said of any of the other creatures. They do not possess a living soul. Man does. And it didn't take millions of years. It didn't take millions of trial and error and DNA writing and then erasing and then trying again, writing something else, erasing, trying again, and then finally till the DNA got man right. It didn't take that. It just happened. One moment man wasn't there, the next moment he was. And he's at the top of every food chain. Ecclesiastes. I got irritated at YouTube yesterday. They flagged a sermon that I did in 2016, Sunday night sermon in 2016. They flagged it as inappropriate for certain ages. They age restricted a sermon that I preached, and I listened to the sermon from start to finish. There was nothing in it. I think I was talking about DNA and cancer. So I suspect somebody, just to irritate me, flagged one of my videos. This one is for the young people. I want your kids to listen to this. Because your children, if they're not homeschooled, if they're not private schooled, they're learning about evolution in school. And I knew a young man. I was friends with a kid. He went to a conservative Baptist church, King James Baptist Church, his family. And he believed the same things I did while we were growing up. When he left home and went to secular college the first year of college, I called him. And I said, how's it going? And we talked for a little bit. And he then began to explain to me he was taking a philosophy course and he wasn't sure if there was even a God anymore. And it only took one semester. So Ecclesiastes, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Learn about creation. Learn about your God while you're young. While the evil days come not. Childhood has a certain innocence about it. Nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Childhood is supposed to enjoy childhood and have fun while you're a kid. But that's also when you're supposed to learn about your Creator. And the fact that you didn't evolve, and there is no purpose to your life whatsoever. If God created you, then there is a purpose for His creating you. It is so that God can enjoy the benefit of His creation. Just as, let's say your dad works on old cars. My dad did. In his retirement days, dad worked on old cars. Old pickup truck, he had his favorite. And he took very good care of that pickup truck that he worked on. He got it running again. He got the motor running again. He got the brakes to work. He repainted it. That was the work of his hands. He enjoyed the benefit of that. And we get that from God. God wants to enjoy the benefit of His creation. He wants His creation to adore Him, to serve Him. And we are His workmanship, the Bible says. So, when Satan lies to mankind, and man believes it, and man believes that there is no God and that he wasn't created, Satan's whole purpose is to deny God the blessing and the benefit of enjoying His creation. So I encourage every parent, teach your children that there is a God, that there is a Creator. God made us in His image, in His likeness. He made us for a reason, for a purpose. And it is our pleasure to serve that Creator. And to believe in Him and trust Him. Evolution, it attempts to deny God and man that relationship. Isaiah 43:1, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. You see, if we believe that we're created, then we believe that God owns us. We belong to Him. We are His workmanship. Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. And here's why. For thy pleasure they are and were created. This is why God made us. For His pleasure, His enjoyment. Again, whatever you do with your hands, you ought to and have a right to enjoy the benefit of what you have labored with your own hands. Whether it's an old car, or whether you bake bread or apple pies, or you sculpt, or you paint, or you write music, or whatever it is, or you farm, you have a right to be the beneficiary of the work of your hands. if it's monetary gain or it's just the pleasure of looking out over cornfields or cattle or whatever it is. I remember the first time as a young man when I went to work for Ron DeGonia, and I walked into this house, had no paint on the walls, just bare drywall. The tapers had been there, and they'd finished their covering the joints and the seams and the nails and everything like that. And I walked into that house with no paint, and at the end of the day, I walked out of that house. I looked back, and I said, I did that with my hands. And I gained a satisfaction from that. People live in that house now that I painted, that I made beautiful for them. And I received a sense of satisfaction from that. Learn that, young people. Learn that. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. God's still creating. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God loves new things. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That is a joke. It's a lie. It says that there is no God. There is no purpose to the things that exist. It's up to man to seek out his own pleasure. That's what evolution teaches. And has that benefited mankind? No. It's removed man from having the joy of having a relationship with his Creator. It's robbed man of that. 1 Timothy 6:20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. When science opposes creation, it's false. It's a lie, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. There are people who have tried to reconcile 13.5 billion years that the scientists just dreamed. Does science actually have proof that the universe is 13 billion years old? No. They don't have any evidence. There wasn't a movie made of the creation that scientists viewed. There isn't any evidence at all that the earth, it's a guess that they made. It's a guess because they refused to believe in the Creator. So they had to make a guess about how we got here, how we showed up, how we appeared, how we ended up being at the top of the food chain, how we ended up being enlightened beings that we are. They had to make it up out of their own heart. Romans 1 says it like this. Let's see here. Romans chapter 1 says, for the invisible things, let's go to 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, the creation, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. So what does God do? God gives them over to a reprobate mind. He turns them over, sears their conscience with a hot iron, which is why a medical doctor and a nursing staff can rip apart a human fetus inside the mother's womb and have no compassion about that whatsoever. They're foolish. It's because they think that that which is formed in the womb of a mother is nothing more than tissue. You know what's funny to me? Is that the crowd that's been screaming for the last 50, 40 years, whatever, since Roe v. Wade, that it's my body. It's my body, therefore it's my choice. They're the ones screaming the loudest, saying, we need to make vaccines mandatory. Because it's, you shouldn't have a choice. But wait a minute. You want the choice of killing a human baby inside your womb. But you don't want to give us the choice of whether or not we want something that we don't know injected into our bodies. Hypocrites they are. Romans, yeah, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Got ahead of myself. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So along comes Charles Darwin. He believes that we came. He looked at monkeys, gorillas, apes, and saw a similarity and thought, I wonder if we didn't have that same appearance and same form 50 million years ago. I wonder, So if man evolved from monkeys, why didn't all the monkeys evolve? Why are there still monkeys? My father-in-law, eighth grade education, knows better than that. That was his statement. If we came from monkeys, why are there still monkeys? Look at his book. Tell me what you see. The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, or the Preservation of Favored What? Races. In the Struggle for Life. He was a racist. He believed that one race of humans was superior to other races. Slavery is essentially an evil, sick, demented ideology. It presumes that simply because a person has the outward characteristics of darker skin, that because of that, they're not 100% fully functional humans. Therefore, my conscience is clear when I demand that they serve me with no benefit to themselves whatsoever. Other than I'll give them enough food to keep them alive. That's what slavery. Slavery basically stems from racism, which stems from the idea of evolution, that the Negro or whoever didn't evolve like the rest of us. And if you go around this world, I may be wrong, but this is what I see. That generally, those around the world who are of a darker skin, they are seen as being less legitimate or less human than those who are of a lighter skin. Even in India, in the the caste system, because they believe in reincarnation, that you can be born a lower subhuman because in the past life you didn't do so well. And so whatever you're born into, you're born with extremely dark skin and you don't look as pleasant as the white and delightsome people look. And therefore you are of a lower level than the rest of everybody else. See, it goes on everywhere. In England, they base it upon your accent. You can be born of a higher blood than others. Therefore, you are entitled to a higher lordship than other people. In the British Parliament system itself is based upon classification of humans. The House of Commons, the House of Lords. And one, the House of Lords, is superior to the other, the House of Commons. And then, of course, you have the Queen, who is high and mighty. God hates all of this. Now, Blavatsky, Helena Blavatsky, she also believed in evolution. But she said Darwin was an idiot. He didn't get it right. He's an idiot in the fact that he believes that evolution happened just by chance. Happy accidents took place and brought life to this barren planet. She didn't believe that. She believed in evolution, all right. But she said it didn't happen by accident. It was guided and directed. Blavatsky would be a perfect UFO expert nowadays. The idea that man was seeded onto this earth by an extraterrestrial force of some kind. That's what she believed. She said, Darwin's an idiot. It didn't just happen. It was put here on purpose. Human life was put here on this earth on purpose. And we have evolved, but that at every stage in man's evolution, this is what Blavatsky believed, every stage in man's evolution took place as a result of alien intervention or the Ascended Master's intervention. That's what she wrote in The Secret Doctrine. She said, in the creation of new species, it is the designers who direct the new evolution. Who are those designers? Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's who the designers are. So, this is why we see in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, the designers are going to step in again. They're going to jump in, for as much as thou sawest, and whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. That is Blavatsky's designers who are directing the new evolution. Thus, she said, when we say that nature provides for every animal and plant, whether large or small, we speak correctly. She believed and sort of brought forward this fundamental doctrine of the New Age, the New World Order, the Illuminati, no matter what. Let's talk Illuminati for a minute. Adam Weishaupt, a German Jesuit priest, forming what he called the Order of Perfectibilists, meaning that he believed in the perfection of all mankind, that man will evolve to a perfect state. The movie The Circle came out a few years ago, about 5 years ago. Tom Hanks And it was about a social media company. And a young lady that got hired, she found out that the social media company basically had designs of linking everybody in the world together. And Tom Hanks played the owner of the company, and he said, I believe in the perfectibility of all mankind, that mankind will reach a perfected state one of these days. And, of course, he believed then that it would be done through technology. Sort of like Elon Musk. Mark my words, the deep state that is responsible for cheating this 2020 election, that deep state is closely linked in with the Chinese Communist Party and the globalists around the world. The idea of communism is that all men are and must be equal in all things. They do not and cannot tolerate differences. Whether it's differences of intellect or differences of opinion, differences of religion, differences in people's personal finances, they cannot tolerate that. Everybody must be one, the same. Treated as one, the same. And that's what they want to bring to this country. That's what they want to force into this country. If Donald Trump actually succeeds in winning the presidency, which is becoming less and less likely every day, then mark my words, we are going to move closer and closer and closer in a Biden administration, or I'll say a Kamala Harris administration. Biden is too out of his mind, too senile to run this country. He's not qualified. He's a puppet on a string. A man who has sold his soul all his political life to gain personal favors, to be able to indulge his own lust. He's a controlled man. He's a company man, through and through. And this country will go down to the same level as every other third world communist dictatorship. And it's about the technology to link everybody together, giving them this false idea that they'll be, I mean, the devil said, hey, you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. But the moment Eve ate that fruit, when she opened her eyes, what did she then perceive? Her own nakedness. And immediately, shame was introduced into her mind. She walked around the garden completely naked. Never felt any shame. And everything that the devil promised her was a lie. It didn't pan out, did it? She immediately felt shame and reproach. And everybody who favors communism, socialism, hates the liberty that we have in this country, they're just being set up. Just being set up. The concept that all of humans are going to become gods, and they're going to be joined together as one, it sounds good. We're going to eliminate war. We're going to eliminate poverty. We're going to eliminate disease. We're going to eliminate this. And by the way, you don't have a choice in it. You're going to go along with it, or you'll suffer the consequences. Sound about right? That's where we're headed right now. But it's promising man this utopia. This utopia of us evolving into a higher state by way of technology. Man will become gods. But man
is about to bring about his own destruction.
In the book Cosmic Consciousness, a study on the evolution of the human mind, the author, Richard Buck, said, "This new race is in the act of being born from within us. And in the near future, it will occupy and possess the earth." Manly Hall said, "The occultists of the ancient world had a most remarkable understanding of the principle of evolution. They recognized all life as being in various stages of becoming. They believed that human creatures were in the process of becoming planets." Now think about that. That's an odd statement, Manly. What does that mean? I'm going to reach in and get some... I think my blood sugar is going down a little bit. So I'm going to remedy that. I'd hate to go into a, you know, in a coma live on the internet. What did he mean when human creatures were in the process of becoming planets? Do you think that he meant something along the line of the stars of heaven? Look what God promised Abram. Genesis 15:5. "Look now toward the heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them." And he said, "So shall thy seed be." Genesis 22. God said to Abraham, that "in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies," the stars of heaven. Genesis 26, "I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven." Even us, in the New Testament, the book of Colossians promised that we will be as lights shining in a dark world. So what that means for us as born-again Christians, that God will raise us up to a higher level. We will be as the angels of God, the angels in heaven. Jesus himself said that. Jesus himself said, "I have said, ye are gods, and all of ye are children of the Most High." And Jesus said, that promise was made to those to whom the Word of God came. And again, I got chewed out by a woman because I quoted Jesus, quoted Scripture. Because when we are resurrected, we will, in fact, go from a mortal state to an immortal state, to a state of corruption, from a state of corruption to a state of perfection. If that isn't the case, why are we saved to begin with? What are we looking forward to? What is our blessed hope? It is because that we are in Christ that we will be like him, the Bible says. Paul said that, right? So am I in error in saying that when the resurrection takes place, when our resurrection takes place, will we not be like Jesus? Will we not be as the stars of heaven? Will we not be like God? We will. We will be in a perfected state. We will be totally immortal. We will be without sin. Everything that God is, we will be like him. But we'll be less than him for sure. No doubt in my mind. So, the world then, or Satan, offers that same plan, but a different way. While God offers it to us through incorruptible seed, the world offers it through corruptible seed. Man's philosophies, man's ideas, or Satan's philosophy, Satan's ideas, Satan's
seed. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of man. That day that that happens is the day that man is longing for. The whole purpose of Homo Deus, the evolution of man to a higher state, is the day when they are going to mingle themselves with the seed of men. It's called human metamorphosis, the emerging man, the new person, Homo Novus, a new human being. See this image? This is the image of Rosicrucianism. You have a cross. What does the cross represent? The chromosomes of man's DNA. The rose bears what? What does a rose bush bear? Thorns. Dun, dun, dun. The image of the pelican feeding her seven children, think about it, from her own flesh, the consumption of, and it's supposed to represent Christ. I'm not buying it. It's not, this pelican's not Jesus. Okay? This pelican feeds her young from her own flesh and blood. It's sort of like Quetzalcoatl, who sacrifices himself on a cross, an X-shaped cross, for the benefit of the people that serve him. Okay? It's an old Babylonian Sumerian concept of the dying god. The dying god gives himself and sacrifices his life, and from his flesh, those who consume his flesh can live forever. Now, take that idea. Remember, we have Jesus who says to eat his flesh and drink his blood. In what form? In the form of the Word of God. The Catholic Church then offers everyone food sacrificed to an idol, the Mass performed in front of the crucifix, the idol of Jesus, or the idol shepherd, I'll say, saying that if you eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, you'll live forever. Transubstantiation, in other words. So the whole idea of the Rosicrucian doctrine is the perfected state of man brought about by one who is dead, who comes back to life. Revelation 13. Rosicrucian doctrine says this: the manner and the means by which the present day man is transformed into the divine Superman. This symbol, the Christian rose cross, shows the end and aim of human evolution. The solution of the world mystery, man's past evolution, present constitution, and particularly the secret of his future development. I've told you in the past to listen for things in commercials like a whole new world. This changes everything. Okay? A new beginning. A new level. A whole new world. All these things marketing to the psyche of mankind, that a new world is coming, a new world order, a day when man will become perfected. He'll become a god. Nothing will stop him. You can do whatever you want. You can think. You can be whatever you think. You can fulfill all your dreams. Power of positive thinking, that we will create our own reality. That's what they're promising, is that man is going to evolve to this higher form. It's all about his genetics. I already read that.
Matthew 13, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. The tares are the corruptible seed. The 46 words that the serpent spoke to Eve in the Garden of Eden. It's what Freemasonry is all about. Man evolving to a higher form, a higher state. The brotherhood of all mankind is what they say. Well, if all men are brethren, that means they all have the same father. Notice that Masonry itself is evolution. When you enter the lodge, whether it's the York Rite or the Scottish Rite, York Rite has 13 levels. Scottish Rite has 33. One of our watchers sent me a message this morning saying, Pastor, did you catch that? 17 states joining the state of Texas to sue for the election. When you have 17 states joining with Texas to sue for the election, how many states didn't go along with it? 33. Ba, ba, ba. Something there. But it's about rising one level and then another. And let me ask you about your salvation. The day that you were saved, if you would have died that day, would you have gone to heaven? Of course. Even without knowing all the things you know now about God and the Bible and salvation and the blood atonement and substitutionary death of Christ and so on, all the doctrines that you now know and the things that you've learned, had you got saved the day, or had you died the day you got saved, you would have gone to heaven. Were there any levels in evolutionary process where you get better and better and better and then finally you go to heaven? Is that it? No! God is no respect of persons. He saves the foolish, the weak, the castaways of this world. He saves them all and makes them kings and priests in His glorious kingdom. Masonry, whether it's the York Rite, Scottish Rite, doesn't matter. It's just the opposite. It says you must labor to achieve perfection. You must work. You must become a better person. You must do more. You must achieve higher things. You must be told higher secrets. That's why they lie to you when you join the Blue Lodge. They lie through there. They tell you a secret word and they tell you what it means, but it doesn't mean that. They explain it later that, of course, we lied to you. Why would anybody belong to an organization that they know deliberately misled them? Why would anybody do that? Would you still be following Jesus Christ if you found in the Bible that Jesus admitted, I lied to you, I made it all up. I'm not really going to do this for you. Would you do that? Would you follow Him? No! Why do people follow evolution, the devil? Goes back to, we just believe what we're going to believe. Right? Oh, 33 plus 13 is what? 46 chromosomes. Evolution. Ooh. That's what's coming. The next state. Man becomes Robo-Man. His abilities change. He can do more things. He can work faster. So Elon Musk started, you know, seeing where artificial intelligence was going. And it scared him. He's seen the same movies I have. Artificial intelligence, you know, The Matrix. The whole Matrix trilogy was about artificial intelligence becoming aware and starting a war with mankind. And then eventually using humans as batteries to draw electric power from them, to feed off of them, in other words, so the artificial intelligence, the computer world, could live and survive and, you know, expand or whatever. One higher form at war with a lower form, in other words. Sort of like David and Goliath, where Goliath is the architect. Goliath is the computer mainframe. He can think faster. He can move quicker. He can do things that mortal humans can't do. That's what makes him a god over mankind. So Elon Musk sees all this coming. And he says, there's only one way to escape this. There's only one way out for us. Because once we bring in artificial intelligence and the AI becomes conscious of itself, self-aware, not just a beast, self-aware, and has a will and a desire, mankind's going to lose. Because we can't think fast enough. We've already built computers and the programming. We've already shown that computers can outmatch the smartest humans in the world at every form of battle scenario games that we have. Chess, checkers, Go, you name it. We've already developed artificial intelligence systems that can beat mankind at any kind of war simulation that ever exists. Fulfilling Revelation 13. Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? We're already there. So, Elon Musk said, the best way to go here, the only way out, is for us to join technology. To join, to make ourselves one with the God that we're creating. I mean, you would ask yourself the question, since man is building this artificial intelligence and then he realizes that this artificial intelligence could actually come back on us and kill us all, why isn't man stopping this? You ever ask that question? Why isn't somebody going, let's stop here. We've got enough technology. We don't need any more. We don't need it to be smarter than this. We need to stop here to prevent what did Facebook do? Facebook created this AI and created two AIs and put them talking to one another, and they all of a sudden started forming their own language, a secret language between them that the humans didn't know, couldn't figure it out. And they quickly unplugged it, and they said, uh-oh, that didn't turn out so good. Remember that a couple years ago? But I guarantee you, somebody somewhere is going to plug it all back in. Guarantee you. So Elon Musk says we must join with our God that we're making if we're going to survive. Fourth kingdom. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. We already know how to use DNA as a programming medium for computers. We already know how to do that. Because the way DNA is encoded is very similar to the way binary code works in computers. Zeros and ones, switches on and off. Adenine, thymine, guanine, cytosine. Let's say adenine, thymine combination is a switch is on. Guanine cytosine combination switches off. It's that simple. We can use DNA to store digital pictures, movies, GIFs,
or GIFs, however you pronounce it, animated pictures, books, and computer programming. So they wouldn't need to put a hard drive in mankind to run the computer system that they're going to stick in our brains. They'll just use DNA. DNA will hold the code and will hold it better because DNA is pretty stable. Manly Hall said this about the pentagram. The pentagram is the figure of the microcosm, the magical formula of man. It is the one rising out of the four. The human soul rising from the bondage of the animal nature. In other words, man's soul evolving out of this mortal body to a new man. It is the true light, the star of the morning. Where do you get that from? Lucifer. It marks the location of five mysterious centers of force, the awakening of which is the supreme secret of white magic. Ray Kurzweil, predicting 2045, the year man becomes immortal. Could it happen sooner than that? Yep. It could happen a lot sooner than that. Bionic contact lens to project emails before eyes. Get ready for a new human species. Corporations are patenting human genes and tissues. Look what Paul warned Timothy about. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past, and overthrow the faith of some. Be aware of, and I still probably will probably do this at some point on a Pastor Mike Online future episode. Where was I going to go? Oh, 1 Corinthians 15. No, not Romans. 1 Corinthians. Is to lay down some guidelines for you on what you should believe from the internet. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And my friends, evil communications are all around us. They are here. They are at the computer you're sitting at now. The television that you're sitting at now. The tablet that you're watching. The phone that you're looking at. Yes, digital communications has brought a whole new world of evangelism possibilities. A way to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. A way to tell the truth to a large group of people. But it's a double-edged sword. And the other side of that sword is packed with a lot of things that are not true. And I watch things and I read things that people send to me. And I am, to be honest with you, I am stunned at what people accept as being true when there's absolutely no evidence whatsoever that what they're saying is true. It grieves me very much. It is part of what I'm going through right now. I am going through a really, really hard, difficult time in my life right now. Very hard. And I'm grieved at the gullibility of mankind to believe things that are not
true. The Bible is not just a book on salvation. It's a book on how to experience life and live life in the best way possible. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life, that you might have it abundantly. I do believe that God can give us great joy and blessings in this life if we follow God's ways. I mean, is it not good to not commit adultery and not steal from people and not lie to people all the time and not covet everything that they've got? Isn't that good? Yes, that brings a good and happy. Is it not good to honor your parents, your father and your mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth? Yes, this is the first commandment with promise, Paul said. So the Bible doesn't just give us the quick advice on how to get to heaven. It shows us how to live in this world. And there are rules and guidelines that God gives us in His Word for whether or not we should believe something that somebody says. Rules, firm rules. And I'm telling you, you could be much happier in life if you spent less time on the internet. Less time watching television. Much happier in life. This world and the technology of this world with the social media is destroying faith in God's Word. It is replacing God's Word in untold thousands of would-be Christian Bible believers. And people just accept whatever comes out on the internet because they want to believe certain things. And it grieves, it is. I am just not enjoying my best life now. I'm very grieved. Very grieved. And it's not that I want more page views. I want more YouTube views. I don't care about that. I'll keep doing what I'm doing if nobody listens to a word I say. But it is frustrating, to be honest with you. Very frustrating. Evil communications will corrupt good manners. And does it matter whether or not certain conspiracy theories or certain information that comes through social media, does it matter whether it's true or not? I think it does. See, I think Satan, you have to be aware of his tactics, right? I think he figures out ways that he can deceive you. I think he figures that out. Ways that he can get to you. Ways that he can get you to believe something that's not true. And we're warned. How many times in the Bible are we warned, be not deceived, be not deceived, be ye not deceived, do not be deceived. Watch. Walk circumspect. Be careful. How many times throughout the Bible are we warned about believing false information? Scores of times. Maybe hundreds of times. We're told every way imaginable that the devil will work against us in God's Word. And that we're to test things. We're to prove things. We're to ask even God questions. I'm trying to think of the verse, how it was written. prove all things, hold fast that which is good. At the mouth of two witnesses or three. And I hear people making claims on the internet. They offer zero evidence. And then people go, wow, man, that's explosive. Man, that's what's really going on. It bothers me. I have a zeal for truth. Doesn't mean that everything I say and believe is true. But I have a zeal. I have a desire to not be lied to, number one. Number two, not deceive anybody else. Because I'm going to be held accountable for that. And that scares me. It scares me. Every idle word will be brought to judgment one of these days. And I'm telling you, the devil's very clever. He's very smart. Smarter than we are. And once he figures out he can lie to you and get you to believe certain things, you may not realize it. You're being set up right now for a huge fall. Does the devil ever really deliver on his promises? No. Mm-mm. His whole point is to deceive people to get them to crash and burn and fall. That's his whole purpose. Why did God create the spirits that he created that deliberately lie? Because he uses them. In the days of Ahab and Jehoshaphat, where Micaiah the prophet told Ahab, this is what I saw, Ahab. I saw God surrounded by all these spirits. And God said, who'll go and deceive Ahab? One spirit said one thing, one spirit said another, and finally one said, I'll go do it. And the Lord said, how with? Wherewith? How will you do it? And the spirit said, I'll go be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. I'll convince him to go into battle tomorrow. I'll tell him that he's going to come up with the greatest victory ever. God said, go do it. Because I'm going to have him dead tomorrow. And that's exactly what happened. Ahab believed a lie. But he had 400 preachers telling him the same lie. And only one telling the truth. How many English Bibles are there on the market right now? I don't think there's 400. How many of them have the absolute 100% guaranteed truth? One of them. And only one of them. See how it works? Just because a YouTube video gets a lot of hits, just because a website has a lot of traffic going to it, just because a lot of people believe certain things, that doesn't mean they're true. We're to believe not every spirit, but try the spirits to see whether they be of God or not. That means put them on trial and weigh what they're saying up against the evidence of what you know to be true in the Word of God. That's what you do. When the police do a lineup, they bring in people that are similar in appearance to a suspect. And then they have six guys in a lineup. Only one of them is guilty. And the witness has to look at all of them and pick one out of that group. Only one of them is the bad guy. And of all the Bibles that are out there, there's only one of them. Only one of them that tells the truth. Which means that all of the other ones, even though they're the most popular Bibles on the market, And all the churches are going to these Bibles, and all the churches have them in their pews, and all the churches put their verses up on the screen, and they leave one Bible out deliberately, the King James. So just because the New American Standard, the NIV, and all these other Bibles are the popular Bibles, and you might reason among yourselves and say, well, how could all of these people be wrong? The truth of it is, only one of them is perfect. Only one. They're not all perfect. Even though they're popular, even though that's the way everybody else is going, and everybody else is listening to these other Bibles and these other sermons, only one's true. So, be not deceived. Evil communications will corrupt good manners. And the way things are said and what's being said and what's being pushed on social media, their words will eat like a cancer. That's what canker means. They will just consume all of the good out and leave nothing but poison and kill you. This article, look at this article, was from November 2011. And look at the graphic. This is actually the Heine virus, H1N1, Heine. Pandemic possible, scientists genetically modifies bird flu with scary results. Where are we right now? Genetically modified mutant, safe for release into the wild. Do we believe that? Nope. So, as it was in the days of Noah. Correct? As it was in the days of Noah. And what was going on in the days of Noah? God looked upon the earth. Behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with what? The earth. Dun, dun, dun. I can tell you, there is so much more to be found in our beloved King James Bible than you could possibly dream of. Why do you spend so much time listening to everything else but the Bible? The book is absolutely amazing. It is a well that has no end. You ever drank spring water right out of the spring, or well water right up from the well, untreated? You ever drank that? It's cold as ice, and it tastes absolutely amazing. Go to Hot Springs, Arkansas, and you go to the end of town, and they've got a park there, and you can get all the water you want for free. They have a public park there, and they got a little dispensary station set up, and people bring jugs, they bring big containers or whatever, and they fill them up. And that water coming out, ice cold, right up from the ground, untreated, right up from the ground, and you drink it, and you've never had water taste so good in your life. That's the Bible. That's the book that we say we believe in. Everything I do, I just want to continue to encourage you. Believe the book. Read it. Spend some time with it. Let God show you things you will never
see on the internet. And it'll fix problems in your life. It'll do things for you that you've been wanting done. I can't encourage you enough to think Bible. I can't encourage you enough to open it up, read it, be blessed by it. And know that is not true. 100% guaranteed the truth. No lies whatsoever. I wouldn't have a ministry if it wasn't for this book. I wouldn't have anything.